This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. First dropped the Mueller report, and now the other shoe.
Whoa, some Democrats starting to come around on impeachment in the wake of the Mueller report.
I believe Congress should take the steps towards impeachment.
Do you think the House should move for impeachment?
I think he's made it pretty clear that he deserves impeachment.
Candidates Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg there after being asked to weigh in at CNN town halls Monday. As I write, there is still no consensus in the House of Representatives on whether to move on the issue, with impeachment highly unlikely to yield a conviction in the Senate and a big election just around the corner. Many in the leadership are downplaying impeachment talk on moral or political grounds, or neither, or both. Here's House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler speaking with Chuck Todd on NBC's Meet the Press.
Why haven't you opened an impeachment inquiry? Or, in fairness, is that what you're doing right now?
I don't think we're doing that. We may get to that. We may not. As I've said before, it is our job to go through all the evidence, to all the information
we can get. Do the politics impact this, though?
And to go where the evidence leads us. I'm sorry?
How much does the politics impact this? You have a legal case that you believe this happens and you should do it, but the politics dictate something else. How much is that going to influence this decision?
I don't know. That'll come down the road when we see what we have.
Is this in Nancy Pelosi's hands?
For those who have been closely following the slow drip of evidence accumulating for more than 2 years and vindicated in their horror of Trump by the Mueller report, let's see what happens is not exactly a rallying cry. As those doing the political math come up with different answers, many citizens are sensing yet another episode of thwarted justice, and not for the first time in recent years. Paul Waldman is a columnist and senior writer for The American Prospect. He cites the Clinton impeachment as a kind of cautionary tale for the Democratic leadership.
Yeah, I think that there are some people in the Democratic Party who may have learned the lessons of the Clinton impeachment a little too well. The story that we tell about that is that the Republicans impeached Clinton and the American people punished the Republican Party for doing this kind of partisan process that wasn't good for the country. The problem is that there are a lot of differences between that situation and this one. So, for instance, Clinton was extremely popular. He had approval ratings in some cases over 70%. Trump is extremely unpopular. His approval rating is around 40%. Also, the conduct in question there was really rooted in an affair that Clinton had with Monica Lewinsky, and he lied about it in a deposition. But after a year of constant discussion, the conclusion that the American people essentially came to was that he was kind of scummy, but it didn't merit removing him from office. We don't know if the American public debated it for a year what conclusion they would come to about Trump, but the allegations, at least, relate much more closely to his conduct in office. So, however a Trump impeachment might end up, it's unlikely it would work out exactly like the Clinton impeachment did.
Should these decisions necessarily be based on political pragmatism to begin with versus, say, just pure accountability?
If Donald Trump deserves to be impeached, then Donald Trump should be impeached. Now, of course, we can't ignore the political considerations, but there's a strong case to be made that the process itself is a way of making a statement, of saying that it's not acceptable for a presidential candidate to accept the aid of a hostile foreign power. It's not acceptable for him to attempt to obstruct justice, even if in many cases his aides prevented him from carrying out the obstructive act. Throughout the Trump administration, there's been such a deluge of misdeeds and norms being broken and rules being ignored that sometimes we just decide that this thing is not worth fighting about because there are so many other things that are going wrong. But ultimately, at some point, you have to stand up and make a defense of the system itself.
The GOP has been working for a long time to cultivate a certain narrative about a rigged system and political bias, a deep state. An impeachment by the Democrats will be just the smoking gun they're looking for to prove, yep, he's just being set up for purely partisan reasons.
A lot of people spend a lot of time worrying about what will make Trump voters angry. Looking at what they see on Fox News or hear on Rush Limbaugh, another conservative talk radio, makes them very, very gun-shy because they say, if we awaken this beast, we'll get another version of 2016.
The Democrats are being driven mad. They're operating from a contrived conspiracy born and supported by fake news, and they can't give it up for whatever reasons.
The problem is that they have a remarkable ability within that conservative media system to create controversy out of anything. The biggest issue in the 2016 election was whether Hillary Clinton used the wrong email. The idea that you could avoid the wrath of the Trump supporters by not going down the road of impeachment, but say investigating him in other ways, I just don't think that bears out.
Hearings in the House would force the GOP to line up behind Trump in the face of what will be just a litany of damning evidence. Doesn't that argue for going ahead with proceedings?
Yeah, I think it would. Events in politics can have a power that things like a 500-page document doesn't necessarily have. You know, if you tuned into Fox during the time after the Mueller report was issued, you would have learned that it was a complete and total exoneration. But if you have an actual event that there are cameras stuck in front of, it's much harder to get people not to see what's actually happening there. Key moments in the Watergate hearings helped turn the public against Richard Nixon. It was Howard Baker saying,
"What did the president know? And when did he know it?"
It was John Dean.
"We have a cancer close to the presidency that's growing daily. It's compounding. It grows geometrically now."
Democrats might reasonably think that if we actually hold impeachment hearings, there will be similar moments that will be impossible for Trump to spin away.
The other day, I did an MSNBC program, and the guest before me was Democratic Congressman Sean Maloney.
"Winning the next election, which is the best way to replace this president, and the most efficient one, frankly, and that's where I'm focused."
And I watched the social media reaction to that argument, and it was scorching. Some parts of the public just do not want to take no impeachment for an answer. Is there in the political ether a sentiment of thwarted justice that at this moment makes political restraint seem like cowardice and impunity?
There's a feeling that the Republicans have been so effective at rigging the system that you can't rely on the system. You know, in two of the last five elections, the Democrat got more votes, yet the Republican wound up in the Oval Office. You have the Republicans refusing to allow Barack Obama's Supreme Court nominee to be considered. You've got Republicans in states all across the country aggressively gerrymandering, who are passing voter suppression laws that make it more difficult for especially African Americans to get to the polls or to be registered. You've got a Supreme Court that is probably going to allow the Trump administration on false pretenses to add a citizenship question to the census. And so Democrats, I think, don't even trust that the system will work in a fair way and deliver them a fair outcome.
The Democratic leadership, at least, seems to believe in a political penalty for a fruitless impeachment effort, but an actual electoral benefit for deliberation and restraint. Clearly, the GOP has looked at the same data, and they've come to an entirely different calculus. Why do they read the political tea leaves so differently?
It may partly have its roots in the two parties' approaches to government. Democrats are the party that believes in government. They want government to work. And so a desire from a substantive standpoint to be the party that makes government work gets assimilated as a feeling that the public is going to see that we're the responsible ones, and they will eventually reward us for that. Republicans are the party that thinks that government can't do anything right. And when government is dysfunctional, that's actually okay with them because it makes their argument for them. You'll notice Republicans don't spend much time or energy worrying about how they can appeal to Democrats. You know, Democrats are always wondering, how can we get that guy in the Make America Great Again hat sitting in a diner in Ohio? Part of this also is that we live in an age of intense polarization. There are so few independent voters who are going to be persuaded one way or another that the most important thing is whether your side is energized, angry even, and whether the other side is more passive.
If you have taken an oath of office to preserve and protect the Constitution, is this even a choice?
The thing about the Constitution is that it's pretty vague. You know, it doesn't define what high crimes and misdemeanors are. It's just a few words, and we have to keep figuring out as history proceeds what we think those words mean. That means that all of us can decide that whatever we think is going to be most politically advantageous is also the thing that is most morally right and the thing that is demanded by the Constitution.
Paul, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Paul Waldman is an opinion writer for The Washington Post's Plumline blog.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.